One verse of scripture. Amen. One verse of scripture, I believe, will suit our case on today. Chapter 4, verse number 12. When you're standing and you have it, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Verse number 12 of chapter number 4, the letter or the epistle to the Hebrews reads and says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. Let me say that again. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. 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 Hebrews chapter 4, the book of Hebrews in itself is a very authentic book. It is a book that up until the mid-1900s, every attorney, in order to get their degree at Harvard University, they had to have a Greek text of the book of Hebrews, or the letter to the Hebrews. And they had to be able to read it and to understand that it is the greatest piece of literature, or something so great that it teaches them how to present an argument and how to make sure that their argument is concrete, that they are able to win a case. Amen. So basically, when you read the letter to the Hebrews, you're reading something that teaches you how to defend what you believe. It's teaching you how to defend the fact that Jesus is greater than everything else. Amen. Amen. I know that there are so many different religions popping up these days, and so many people that are leaving the faith, and many of them, I want to guarantee you that many people who are leaving the faith and deciding to do something else have not fully read the Bible. They're going on a whim. They're going on what somebody told them, but somebody pieced something together, and they don't really truly understand the full content and the context of the scriptures. Amen. But when you look at this letter or this epistle to the Hebrews, you find out that it helps us to understand a lot of things about ourselves and about what God did and how much God loves us and how God set things in order, all the way to the point that we must have faith in order to believe. In order to please God, we must have faith. This letter is a very powerful letter that we should read and understand, because it talks about the blood of Jesus and talks about the blood of Abel that was slain by Cain, and how his blood cried for vengeance. But there's a more excellent blood in the blood of Jesus Christ that does not cry for vengeance, but gives us deliverance and salvation. Amen. Amen. So it's good to understand this. But when we look at this in our society, something I want to extract from this, and I want to use for a topic and a title or thought today, this morning, getting to know the word. Because I said many people leave the faith because they don't know the word. And if you don't know the word, then that means that you don't really know God. Amen. So many people say they know God, but they don't know the word. And it's impossible for you not to know God if you don't read the letters. Amen. Amen. If you had someone that was sending you a letter, you get to know them through what they say in their letter. Amen. You get to know them, and you know them through what they say. Class to us and tells us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word. So who is God? The word. So if the word was God, the word is God, then we must get to know God through his word. Amen. Amen. And so we're getting to know the word of God. Amen. And so in today's society, the word of God is challenged. The word of God is misused. The word of God is misinterpreted. It is mishandled. It is misunderstood. It is doubted. And it is under attack to discredit it. The word of God. And so we as believers, we have to make sure that we continue to spread the word of God. Amen. But as a lesson to those even in the Old Testament, it talks about how those who did not believe, if you begin to look at this particular chapter, number 4, you'll find out it even mentions those who did not believe in the Old Testament, particularly the children of Israel, who when they did not believe, they were not able to enter into the promised land. Amen. And so they were not able to enter into their what? Rest. Those are a few verses above, this is the verse that we've chosen. If you read it, you'll understand. And so we cannot miss an opportunity to believe what God's word says concerning us. Amen. This Hebrew writer, he's letting us know that some people are not going to believe. And guess what he says? Some people will hear the word of God, but they will not mix it with faith. In other words, they won't act on it, because faith without works is what? Dead. And then we can say, I hear the word and I believe the word, but if we have no actions when it comes to the word, then our faith is dead. Amen. We can talk about how much we believe all we want, but until we show, amen, we got to be from Missouri, y'all. We got to show some people, We got to, this is the show me state, right? We got to be like the Bereans. We got to read the word of God. If somebody tells me something, I need to know that it's in the word of God. And when I see it, I believe it. That's why I always ask you to follow along. That's why I always read the scripture and I stick to what I've read, because it does you no good if I just shoot everywhere and find a scripture here and there and try to piece it together to make you believe something. But if you can follow it and keep it within the context, you ought to be able to believe it. Now, I know there are some people who don't like the way I preach. They say, well, that's just old-fashioned, and that's just that's true traditional. I don't like that. I'd rather you just tell me what the Lord said in your mind. Well, I can tell you what the Lord said from the word of God. And guess what? What my mind says don't mean a thing, but what the mind of Christ says, it means everything. Amen? And so we need to, you know, you got to understand something, a context of scripture. We must keep things in context so they won't have a misunderstanding or misinterpretation. So I try my best to keep that in context, because I always say a text without a context is a con. Y'all got that? A text without a context is a con. Many people grab pieces of scripture and they cherry pick. And they con you out of your money, because at the end of their show, at the end of their radio broadcast, TV broadcast, their revival, they say, you know, the Lord said, "For I got 25 people in here that has $999. Now, you don't have it, but you got a credit card." I'm just saying now. And that's why it's important for us to know the word of God, because then people cannot con us. We'll follow what the scripture says. And we'll do exactly what God wants us to do. Amen. Not throwing at anybody, but I'm just telling you the truth of God's word. Amen. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, it opens up with a talk about rest. It talks about entering into rest. When you have, when you understand the word of God, when you understand the promises of God, when you understand who God is and what God wants from you, then you enter into a place of rest. I'm not telling you that things won't be hard on you, but you can rest your case on those things. You can rest your case on the word of God. You can say, you know what? Even though it looks bad, I'm at peace. I have rest. Even though things don't look like it's turning out the way I envisioned them, I still have rest. Anybody got rest here? I've had some good days. I've had some bad days. I've had some hills to climb, but through all of that, I still had rest. Anybody got rest today? I had rest when the doctor gave me a diagnosis. I had rest. When it looked like my children were acting up, I had rest. When it looks like my family acted up, I had rest. When my money was funny, my change was strange, I had rest. When my friends turned their backs on me, I had rest. Y'all got to get some rest. We talking about getting rest because we want to go to sleep. No, I'm talking about resting in the Lord. I rest my case on his word. I know that these things are coming to afflict me, but the afflictions that come to the righteous, God will deliver him from them all. I know that these weapons have formed up, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I rest on the word of God. When you rest on the word, you can go into the lion's den like Daniel did and make the lion's fur a pillow for you to go to sleep, because they can't eat you. Oh, hallelujah. When you rest, you can go into the fiery furnace and the fire won't have no power over you. You won't come out smelling like smoke. You won't come out looking like what you've been through because you have had rest. They talking about you. So what? Rest. Peter went to jail. The Bible says that at that night he was in jail and he was about to lose his head, be beheaded the next morning. But the Bible said the angel had to smite him in the side to wake him up. Do you know what Peter had? He had rest. It is what it is. He had rest. And we need to learn to have some rest. When you have unrest, there's no peace. But the Bible said God will give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. And so we begin to look at this in chapter 4. It talks about rest and it talks about the good news being preached to those and many of them that did not mix it with faith. And so when we hear the word of God, we must mix it with faith. It's kind of like having the Kool-Aid package and not putting sugar in the Kool-Aid. If we don't put the sugar in the Kool-Aid, it's not fit for drinking. Amen. Because now some people can drink it, but if you put sugar in it, it makes it that much more refreshing. Amen. Now, when we look at the word of God, when we mix it with faith, when we believe it, and when we have faith in the word of God, then it begins to be profitable for us because now we believe it. But just guess what? There are many people that don't believe. The Bible said because some don't believe, does that make the word of God of none effect? No, God forbid. And so what if some don't believe? It doesn't make God's word short. I don't care if the people around you don't believe. God still will perform a work in you for you, to you, through you, because his word is true and you believe it. Amen. Amen. So he begins to talk about that in the beginning of this chapter, and he lets us know that we, in verse 11, he said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We don't want to fall after that example. What example? They did not enter into the promised land. God had something in store for them and they did not receive it because they had doubt, because they had unbelief. Now, how many times we can't believe God and God says that I got some stuff in store for you. Let me tell you what he got. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that he has in store for them that love him, but it has been revealed by his spirit. And the only way we can believe in his spirit and have his spirit is to receive it by faith. And so if we don't receive by faith the spirit of God, if we don't believe what God said by faith, what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, I may have the title, but I haven't visited the house yet. Oh, come on and say amen. I may have the car keys, but I haven't driven it yet. I have faith. So what is faith? Faith is Jesus. Even though I can't see him, I know he's real. Anybody know he's real today? Oh, hallelujah. And so we got to understand that we got to have faith. Amen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. We got to understand that God blesses us and rewards us not because of how good we are, but because we believe in him. Amen. You ever wondered how come David could still become king? How come David still remained king after he fell with Bathsheba? After he had committed a conspiracy, a murder. Amen. And he still was king and God still blessed his house. God still multiplied him. And I wonder how. And then God showed me that David had something nobody else had in that day. He had the kind of faith that passed by judgment and went to grace. My God. Do you have that kind of faith that'll pass by judgment and go to grace and say, God, I'm here. I come to you before you. Amen. But look, let's go on and I'm going to get out of the way. I know you're bored already. Verse 12, and this is where the meat of the matter is, where I want to be, the body of the message. It says, for the word of God, the word is the word logos. The word of God is quick. The word of God, the logos, and you know, Here's where we get into a little bit of a battle, because there are some people that won't even open their Bible and won't even preach from a scripture. And if you challenge them on it, they say, oh, you're just traditional. They won't even mention the scripture, but they'll tell you that they were up all night and they had visions and dreams, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. That's what we call, and nowadays is what we call a rhema word. But it doesn't say the rhema is quick and powerful. Read that. Because sometimes people will steal a word and it not even be, or they'll make up a word and not even be God's word. But one thing I can count on is the Logos. Lord have mercy. I don't think I got, I think I missed. Okay. The word of God, the Logos, the written word of God is quick. Amen. The word quick here, it talks about the practicality of the word. It means the word quick. It means it is living. It is alive. Amen. There is no book more alive than the Bible. Why? Because every day, even after all these years, it's still fulfilling itself. It's still bringing things to pass. Things are still happening according to the word of God. So the word of God is a living document. It is a living word. Amen. And not only that, but it is a relevant word. It is a practical word. You can bank on what it says, and you can apply it to your life. And the principles from the word of God will bring you good success. According to the word, if we would just take the word of God, it will bring us good success. How that is because when we believe what God says, he begins to act on our behalf. I wish I had somebody. He tells us that we are to let patience have her perfect work so that we may be what? Entire and lacking nothing. If you're in lack, you need to be patient and just wait on the Lord. He tells us in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33, he says, seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and these things shall be added. Now, what things was he talking about? He was talking about the things that the Gentiles have. They were looking for clothes. They were working for material things. He said, all the stuff the Father you know you have need of, he said that he's going to do it. Come on and say, man, he will give you those things. Now, how many of us in here, we didn't even pray for some of the stuff that God gave us? It just appeared in our life. We didn't even have to pray and ask God. We didn't zero in on it. We wasn't precise with our prayers. But God, anyway, he blessed us. And anyway, he looked at us and said, you know what? I believe I'll just bless them with that. They hadn't asked me for it, but I'm going to let it fall in their way. I'm going to let it fall in their lap. And you were blessed because of what God did. Now, that tells me that all I had to do would seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and he began to add things to my life. I used to say this all the time, but when I look at the trash can, it ministers to me. How does the trash can minister to you? Because I keep taking the trash out. That means that I keep getting more than enough. I keep getting stuff that I got to throw away. You mean to tell me there are some people that go to the trash to find something, but here I am giving away trash. Lord have mercy in here. I got some folks that don't want to look at what God is doing. God keeps on blessing you, so you keep filling up the trash so much that you got to pay $25 and $35 for somebody to pick up all the blessing, the residue of the blessing that God has given you in your life, and you can't even say thank you. Oh my God, let the next time you open your trash, next time you get one of those bags and tie it up, say, Lord, I thank you that I got so much that I got to throw some stuff away. Y'all don't want me to preach like I feel. The word of the Lord is quick. It is living. It is alive. It is a living book. Amen. The word of the Lord is alive. It's living. The word of God can't die. The word of God won't die. Amen. The word of God, no matter where it is, no matter how deeply they pack it under the dust of lies, under the dust of misinterpretation, the truth of God's word still will arise to the top to prove himself. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord is quick and powerful. It's relevant. The word is relevant right now. If we look at the things that are happening, Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 24 about some things that were going to happen. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end. He talked about how they will be married and given in marriage, and how they will be eating and drinking and celebrating, and how there will be earthquakes, and there will be in diverse places, and wars and rumors of wars, nations against nations. He talked about all of this, and we see it every day. We see all the stuff happening every day. It's continuing to live. But then he tells us that when this day comes, don't worry. He tells us that this day won't overtake us. He said that he come like a thief in the night, but don't worry. You won't be overtaken as a thief because you walk in the light. Amen. Now, I can apply that. It's practical. I can apply that to myself. Now, let's go on a little further. He says, and powerful. The word is quick and powerful. You know, somebody, I remember somebody talking about the word is quick. They said, boy, the word hit you right quick. I said, it sounds good, but that ain't it. And powerful. The word powerful here is where we get our English word for energy. I wonder why so many Christians lazy. Because we don't know the word. We don't accept, receive the word, because the word will energize you. The word of God is electrifying. I remember when I used to watch wrestling. They would always introduce The Rock, the most electrifying, most electrifying wrestler in sports entertainment. And he would come out, and the children and the people, the grown-ups, 40 and 50, however old they was, they would scream to the top of their voice and cheer. And they were just excited because The Rock showed up. But here we are. We got The Rock of Ages. Lord have mercy. And we can't feel the electrifying presence of God when we come together. He told us that when two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst. And we got more than two or three, but we still don't feel energized. We still don't feel the power of God's word. If nothing else moves me, the word of God should move me. If the singing don't move me, I know the word ought to move me. If all the other stuff that go on, the activities in the church don't move me, I know the word of the Lord ought to be powerful enough to get me off of my blessed assurance, and I'll be able to give God some praise. Oh yeah, it energizes me. And the reason why it don't energize many of us is because we won't study. It energizes the people who study. The Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. We got to study to show. I'm not talking about just reading something. I'm talking about I'm trying to comprehend. I'm trying to understand God. I want to know how he thinks, because his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. I want to know his ways. I want to know his thoughts. I want to know the deep things of God. Oh, come on and say, man, I want to seek his face, because if I seek his face, I don't have to pray for his hand to bless me, because I'll be in the presence of God where there's pleasures at his right hand. Oh, come on and say, man, there are pleasures forevermore. If I got somebody here today that said, I'm just seeking God, I don't care what the enemy try to do to stop me, but I'm going to press my way. That is why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to what's before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Do I have anybody pressing along with me? Do I have anybody that say, I've had some pressure pushed against me, but I got some weight, and I'm trying to put, what is the weight? The weight is God. God's glory. I got the kabod of God, the glory of God that's pushing me along, that's making sure I don't give up. And he, oh, come on and say, man, you ought to put your weight on the word of God and say, I'm just going to stand steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It empowers us. The word of the Lord is it energizes us. It empowers us and makes sure that we got to understand what empowerment means. That when we are empowered, that means that all power that had power over us before we were empowered no longer have power, because we overthrow whatever the power was. So if the devil had power over you, now that you're empowered by the word, it overthrows his power. I wish I had somebody in here that said, I had some stuff the enemy was putting on me. I was weighted heavy when I walked through the door. I felt low, I felt busted, disgusted. I was depressed. But when I heard that word, I was lifted. Oh, come on and say, man, that's why I can lift up mine eyes unto the hill from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. Anybody shouting today that my help didn't come from the east or the west, it didn't come from the people, it came from the Lord. And so that's why I'm lifted today, because he empowered. empowers me. Oh, come on and shout amen here. When I hear the word and receive it with joy, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord will be my strength. And so I'm empowered with joy, so the devil can't do me no harm. The Bible says resist the devil. How can I resist if I don't know the word? If I get the word of God, I can resist whatever he brings. I know he came with sickness to your body. I know he got in your children. I know he got in your husband. I know he got in your wife. He got in your boss at work. But I've been empowered to be able to withstand. And just as the word of God still stands today, I'm standing on a word that I won't be moved. I wish I had a few people in the house that said, I'm getting to know the word. And since I know the word, I shall not be moved. I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why does God want to give us his word? Because his word is weight. It keeps you from being blown away. You know, the stuff that just blow y'all, man, it just blew me away. Oh, yeah, God said, no, it won't blow you away no more, because you got some weight now. And when the winds blow, when the storms of life blow in your life, you shall not be moved by whatever the wind and doctrine, by the slate of men, the cunning craftiness, because I have a word. Glory be to God. Getting to know the word. That's why so many people, they go off of what people say. They call it prophecy or prophelying, whatever the case they call. And people will change their life based off what somebody said. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to change my life. I appreciate prophecy. I thank you for it. But I know what the word of God said. And if I just keep seeking him, then whatever you say is going to happen anyway. So I don't have to make a turn. I don't have to make a change, because the word of God is powerful. Amen. It's electrifying. It changes my life. It does something. It makes a drastic change in me. It makes me not want to cuss no more, preach. It makes me not want to lie no more. It makes me want to do the right thing when I want to do wrong. Paul said that I would do. I do not. That I do. That's the thing that I do. He said that when I think to do good, evil is present. But glory be to God that the word of the Lord will keep me. The word of the Lord will chastise me. The word of the Lord will change me. That's why he said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, you gotta look. Behold, that's what the word means. Behold, I need to look. All things become new. Oh yeah, the reason why I don't remember what mess they talking about is because I'm new. The reason why I ain't gonna entertain that old stuff is because I'm new. Oh, come on and say, man, what do you do with the old stuff? You get rid of the old stuff. You forget the old stuff. I forgot I had that old suit because I got some new suits, and I ain't wore that in 4 or 5 years. So I need to take it out. Do I have anybody in here that say I'm forgetting the old stuff? Well, your haters ain't forgot, but that's okay. But I'm still forgetting the old stuff. The old stuff can't live in the new life. I got to get rid of the old, because he can't put new wine in the old wineskin. It'll only bust it up. And I'm not planning on busting. I'm planning on being blessed. Oh, come on and say amen up in here and give God some glory. Is the word electrifying? Does it give you energy to want to keep on keeping on? Sometimes I get slow, but when I get in the word, I feel like it can't no devil handle me now. I woke up with the word on my mind. I woke up with this scripture right here, what I'm talking to you about. That's the first thing in my head this morning. I said, I must preach that, because I looked at something else last night. But I said, I got to preach how the word of the Lord is powerful, how it energizes me, how it makes me want to get up and run on, because I know what the end's going to be, how the word of God, it changes me, it rearranges me, it gets my mind right, my heart right. It tells me that I can still love you when you don't like me. It helps me out that I can turn the other cheek when they want to slap this cheek. I say, have at it, because I know what the Lord has in store for me. I can give my enemy water when he's thirsty and bread when he's hungry, because I got a word on the inside. I ain't got hatred there. I ain't got bitterness there, but I have a word on the inside of me that make me want to love the folks that don't love me. I want them to see the goodness of God. I want them to see how powerful this word is. If they could just only experience what I experience, if they can only plug in, tap in, if they can only get energized, do I have anybody here? We got to be energized. Let me show you something. You wouldn't stay in a house that had no power, would you? I'm going to give me a motel. I'm not finna stay. I ain't got no electricity. I'm going to stay somewhere else. You got some room at your house. And what makes you think the Holy Ghost want to stay in a house? Preach. Y'all ain't preach. I'm going to preach like a grown man should. What makes you think the Holy Spirit wants to stay in your house and you ain't got no energy?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post.